Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
Hello, I'm Brett.
Brett, you're very well turned out today.
Am I? In what sense? Like, you know,
your hair,
have I had a shave?
Yes.
I haven't.
You have? You normally have a beard. You normally look unkempt. Oh, I can see it now. It's close up. Well,
yeah,
I tell you what, from a meter away, you look clean shaven.
I think I've got what it is. I've got a very bright light shining on us.
It's very bright, yeah.
That's the thing.
It's much brighter than it normally is. Nobody, you've got a lot of what I'm going to call product on your hair.
It's just water.
Water?
Uh-huh.
How's it that sticky? I can see it glistening in that.
Sticky? How do you know it's sticky?
Well, because of the like bits of paper and stuff that are attached to it.
Balloons in that. Uh-huh. I don't know it. No, it's just water.
Well, I've been in the bath, have you?
I'm in the bath every day. Every day.
I know, but
the
have you just been in the bath?
Astronomical. Not so long ago. So, yeah, still a bit wet. No, yeah, I don't brush my hair or
wash it. I said, what, you did not use any shampoo?
Nope.
What kind of...
I would say once... If my head starts getting a bit itchy, Cliff, I think it's probably a bit time to wash it now. So that's what I do. If it gets itchy, wash it.
Okay.
Otherwise, just leave it.
That's a good rule for every part of your
body. It's a good rule. It is, isn't it? Uh-huh. You know, I assume it cleans itself.
Well, yeah. That's what they say, isn't it? That's what the Rastas say.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what happens.
Have you ever got close to having dreadlocks, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I'm that unkempt in the hair.
Hucknall had them, didn't he?
Who?
Hucknall.
Hucknall. Uh-huh. He did have them, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Ginger dreadlocks. When he was on that fairground ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should have had them strapped in.
Of course, he could have gotten them stuck in the mechanisms, couldn't he? Mm-hmm. That would be terrible for him.
Terrible discrepancy.
For Mick. He wouldn't have loved the thought then, would he? Of coming home to you.
That with his scalp ripped off. So you beat the pub today. Tell us what pub you beat to, Brett.
We went to the Bambra.
Also, look at my choice.
Oh, Corona. Mm-hmm. Is Summary. That on special? Remember when we all thought that should be on special?
Yeah.
Never was. So I went to the Bambra, took the dog for a walk. Mm-hmm. We're going to get something to eat. But I tell you what, Cliff, the menu in the Bambra was just... It was just rubbish.
Even for your bit of taste.
For my meager taste, yes.
Uh-huh. Why? What was on it? Like, or what wasn't on it?
Not much. Not much. That's what I
was
saying.
Toasties?
Toasties. I didn't say any toasties. I mean, it had the normal stuff on there, like burgers and that. But it was like, it was just poor. So we were left and went to the New Crown instead.
The Bambra seems the type of place that, you know, the chips that are kind of flat, like planks of wood,
yeah,
that shape.
Yeah,
it seems like that kind of place. I think
I hate those chips, like the end of the chips, the very small
ones. I know,
but
there's some pubs
hard.
That just serve them in that plank shape, isn't there?
Yeah, well, cuboids. I think cuboids.
I thought
you said puboids. See, that was a lot funnier, puboids, wasn't it? That's the thing. You should have said that.
It's not a ship. But yeah.
Well, could be.
So you went the new crown. What did you have at the new crown? What do you have to eat?
You know what I had there, Cliff? I had a burger, didn't I?
And did you? What did you have?
The problem with it, I was going to go for like jalapenos on it and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I didn't bother, so I just got cheese and bacon on it. You know, normal. It was called a cowboy burger. But the problem with it,
did you have an onion ring in it?
No. The problem with it was it was served in a bowl.
Why? Like, dig your hands in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's not the right vessel for a burger, is it?
It certainly is not.
Did they give you a spoon with it?
No spoon. But why a bowl? I like to cut up my burger. Use a knife and fork. I don't like
how many pieces?
Just
like
half
all
it.
The way through.
Yeah, just half it.
And then you use your hands.
Cut it in half and then start using the utensils. But with the this bowl.
Do you mean your hands?
No.
You cut it in knife half and fork. And then use a knife and fork to eat it. You just need to get something else, Brett. Burger's not what you're after.
It is. That's how I eat it. That's how I do it. You know. I know, chucking in it. But obviously, the bowl, it kind of hinders that kind of.
Maybe that's why we'll force him to pick it up. This time.
Look at this idiot.
I've changed my opinion of it now. I think they were in the right. Never get your stupid fucking knife in there, will you?
I mean, what's all this shit? You know, I've had them brought in baskets, burgers, now a bowl. You know what? Just give us a fucking
bowl's
plate.
It's not the right thing, is it? But
it really isn't.
Yeah, knife and fork. And so, I said to my lass,
why is it in a bowl? She went, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's a cowboy burger. I don't know what that had to do with it. But there you go. So, that's what I've been doing.
All right.
What you've been doing?
I'm not a burger. There's a pub quiz started in the bar we go to. Well, a bar quiz. Can you say a bar quiz? It's not a pub, but they've started a quiz night. And the prize, the way where I go to after work, the prize, what do you think's a good prize for a quiz?
Cash.
Cash.
Cash or beer.
Yeah. Prize for this is a pizza. One pizza.
No. A pizza. Do they make pizzas as well? Do they order it in? For you?
Brett, the food not good in that place.
No, that's why.
One of the
They're
lads
just trying to get rid of that stuff.
They should call it the only quiz you play to lose. Anyway, I haven't tried. Actually, I'm being disingenuous a bit because the pizzas come from the Italian restaurant next door, which are actually quite good.
So they do ship it.
But still not a good price for a quiz, is it?
It's an awful price. Awful.
The four of you, you've just done five rounds of inane bullshit. And what do you get to win for coming
to a slice of pizza?
Out of all the other geeks, a slice of pizza. A quarter of a pizza.
It's not good, is it? Can I remember that when we used to go at the giraffe and that they used to give away like crates of
We had
alcohol
a crate
pops.
Of rage.
Creative rage,
some ill-advised alcohol pop.
Is that when you went on a rampage and started taking down the Gazette posters and that?
I did never do that, Brett, because I always aspired to work there one day.
No, you always deny that, even though you definitely did it. I mean, I think you're all right to say it now. I think you're all right to come clean, aren't you?
Never, it didn't even happen.
You live in a different country. and the Gazette doesn't exist.
Yeah, and what on earth could they do anyway? Didn't matter what else to live. I could live next door to the Gazette office, wherever that might be. But it wouldn't matter.
It's just an online thing now, and have you ever been on the online thing? It's impossible to navigate.
I can't go on any local newspaper websites because you can't actually read any stories. You got to close about a million ads, and then they ask you a quiz before you're allowed to read the story. What's that?
It's just impossible.
How regularly
to read.
Do you change your tires? Well. What? What does that matter? I want to read about this fella who's whacked off a fucking pigeon or whatever he's done.
Exactly. It's fucking ridiculous, isn't it?
So yeah, unfortunately, I've still got friends who work there, and I would like to support it a little bit more, but I can't bring myself to wade through the obstacles to get to a story.
Yeah, it's horrific. I've tried and just give up. Sometimes,
well, yeah, same.
It's just not going to work.
It's not like it's ridiculous. The longest bacon sandwich in Britain. It's not even in Shields, Brett. It's in fucking Liverpool or somewhere, and it's just copied and pasted on every website in the country. Like, what? Stupid.
Did you say bacon?
What?
That's what he said. Bacon.
Someone said bacon. Now you accused us of being Steve Bruce.
Yes.
Oh, you bugger.
Well, what's been happening this week? Cliff?
With me?
Schofield and that? No. You warned us about Schofield, didn't you?
Was he on my list?
I don't think he was, actually.
Yeah, because I wasn't suspicious of anymore. I was 100% sure of me.
Exactly,
aye. Schofield, well, I think the thing is, it's a bit much to compare him to Jimmy Savile based on what we know he's done. Like, I don't think it's good to abuse a position of power by, you know, I guess he didn't force himself on this young man, but he obviously was in a position where this lad wanted to do what he said. So,
yeah,
like
it's inappropriate, illegal relationship,
unwise, but not illegal. Apparently, is the line he used, which is
spawned what he said?
Many a lovely meme this week of things that are unwise but not illegal. My favorite one was a picture of Jeffrey in bed with Bungle. On.
Jeffrey, yeah. Of course, I mean, Bungle is the person that like lives his life naked, and then when he goes to bed, puts pajamas on, isn't he?
A massive pair of stripy pajamas, yeah. Like Wee Willie Winky style things. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's a bit of a dick behind the scenes, like. Obviously he's been putting on this nice guy persona for years, and he's been a bit of a dick, so that's not good. He's definitely misused his position of power with this young man or young lad when he first met him. That's a bit creepy, isn't it? Like, he first met him when he was 10, and then years later.
Yes, that is definitely creepy.
But I think it's very harsh to be like, yeah, well, obviously, this is just what we know. He's probably shagged dead bodies, and there's millions of kids that he's abused, like Jimmy Savile. I mean, I think that's a bit much at the minute to do that.
Well, without any kind of evidence of
there's like
that
nothing...
kind of wrongdoing, it's just like, you know, you kind of just go around accusing people of that.
I quite
issue,
like now that the tables or the arrow of abuse, of tabloid abuse, has turned on Holly Willoughby. Just by being mates with him,
just by association,
because she said, "Well, I didn't know anything about it, and I'm good at it. He kept it from us." Well, obviously, you knew, because I know people that knew who just once went to the ITV studios and they knew about it, knew where his best mate. So makes her look a bit daft by saying that she didn't know about it. But again,
I think it's a long line of stuff, isn't it? They've made many mistakes over like the past couple of years or whatever. With, you know, not queuing and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Given Gino De Campo such a platform for his pretend Italian bullshit.
Exactly, yeah. So
sorry, Wardy.
Many a mistake. Yeah, I mean, Wardy, why do you like that fella?
He went to a dinner with him a couple of weeks ago.
He went to that dinner because he liked him. That's not the reason that he likes him. He just went for dinner and Gino De Campo was there.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, it costs £200 a ticket and you get four courses and wine and a meet and greet and I think a cookbook. But you also have to give an offering of a guitar when you turn up. Otherwise, you're not allowed in.
Yeah. You have to give up your valuables at the door. In addition, he comes around with like a swag bag.
It's funny, there's a lass who used to live here that was kind of friends with a lot of people that I know, Jane included, and she was American. And I was always saying to Jane, like, there's no way this woman's really American. Like, she's just not. This is an absolute, like, she's made up this extravagant lie of her life. She's definitely all American. She probably sounds like fucking Pat Butcher when she gets home. And I believe Gino De Campo to be of the same ilk. There's no way he's that Italian.
Of the same ilk. I think he is. Right.
That's my thought.
It's a good thought and a true thought, I think. I'm going to send our friend Shane the
thing. Before he comes on, remind me again. Mm-hmm. Shane, like the dog. Yes,
like Shane Ritchie.
Like Shane Ritchie.
Like Shane Ritchie. Or Shane, like the cowboy film.
So Britpop's back while we're waiting for him.
Britpop, how's Britpop back?
Well, Pulp are touring, Blur are touring, yeah. Suede have just been touring. Lots of people I know went to see Blur, said they were very good.
My lad from work said he was going, Baz, he said he was going to go and see them at Newcastle. It was like a warm-up gig or something.
They look very good. Apparently it was very good. I quite like the new song.
Were they?
It sounds American again.
Is it?
American. Doesn't sound like Park Life and all that shit, but I guess they haven't sounded like that for a long time.
Park Life's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really bad.
Boys, girls and boys, that's a travesty. An absolute travesty. Country House, awful.
Well, there's better songs on all of the albums than the singles, definitely.
There is. There's some good songs. I mean, I bought a lot of their singles and stuff like that back in the day. Beetlebum and stuff like that.
Beetlebum is a great song. Also, one song two, rubbish. Hate it.
I don't mind. I like song two, though. I like that one. I like Miss America from one of the
Yeah, that's
albums.
Good. Well, they've got some really good song, like I say, like not all of that thing. I prefer the album tracks. Kenneth Williams.
Yes.
I watched the finale of Succession. That's finished. That was usually.
I don't watch that, did I?
No, I know. Well, it's finished now. But you know what? I watched four series of it. Very long amount of time spent watching it. The last episode, I kind of just half watched. Like, and halfway through, I was like, why have I spent so long watching this? And then the last one,
well, that's,
I'm not that
honest about. Well, that's why I'll not watch it. Because, you know, if that's the case, what's the point in investing all that time in it?
Mm-hmm.
There's not. Hey, I've got an Xbox now, Cliff. A brand new Xbox, yeah. So I've been playing Hogwarts Legacy.
What is that? What happens in that?
You're like, it's like a Harry Potter game. But
are you Harry Potter?
No, you're your own person, but you're a wizard.
Okay.
And you get to design yourself. You get to design yourself and touch
your avatar.
Cats. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. I've got the Star Wars game, but I've kept away from the Star Wars game until I've done the Hogwarts one.
What's the Star Wars one?
Jedi Survivor, it's called, and it looks good. So I'll do that one after.
I've never had I haven't had a console for years. I had a borrow of a Switch, remember, off John, who always messages us abuse. I had his Switch
Did he take it back?
I mean, it was his. Like, it was only right that I gave
it
back.
But that's a bit harsh of him, isn't it, Cliff?
I mean, I didn't think that would be true.
I mean, he could have just given you, couldn't he?
I know. What's the point of lending?
That's normally what you think when someone says, do you want to borrow this?
Well, what's the point of lending
something? You just assume they're going to give you it, don't you?
I assume they won't ask for it back, is what I assume.
Yes, exactly. That's what you do assume. So there you go. I haven't watched any films or anything.
I don't think I have. I haven't even watched this one that we're going to talk about.
Yes, yeah.
The last week. Well, I have watched it about 3 weeks ago. Just haven't watched it this week. Here he comes.
Hello, Shane.
Howdy doody.
Are you all right?
Are you my
nice
good
to meet
friend?
You, mate.
Indeed, you too, Cliff.
How are you doing?
Alright, I've been doing man stuff in the garden today. Been painting the fence for the missus.
Have you? Man stuff. Is that like you go in the corner and have a wank? Secretly.
That's after.
I was thinking, Shane, when was the last time I saw you? It was 15 years ago or something.
What?
Honestly, it is.
Oh, really?
Because I work with Shane at T-Mobile.
What?
And then when I got married with, yeah, we kind of lost touch, didn't we, Shane? You know, life and shit like that happens, doesn't it? But he's made such an impression on us, Shane, or you've made such an impression on us that I've always thought you throughout the, I've got a message, Shane. Do you know what I mean? And I've never sort of got round to it until COVID. Was it COVID?
It could have been COVID, aye.
Aye.
Bring a lot of people back together, didn't it? Like
it does. And me and Shane have been trying to organise going for a pint since COVID. Haven't we? It hasn't quite worked out, has it?
No. Where do you live, Shane? Not your exact address, obviously.
I'm the friend of Newcastle.
All right, okay. Canny, I used to live in Gosforth and then in Biker. But, it's nice to have you. I honestly thought you were like you kept in touch and knew each other like recently. I didn't know it was T-Mobile days. Maybe I met you back then because we used to go out with some of your mates from then. Can't remember.
Yeah, I think you might have met before. I think you might have done.
Remember?
If you'd remembered, you'd definitely remember.
Well, I just remember that big Arsenal man.
Oh, him. I remember him. Because he came out when we watched, I can't remember his name now, but he was a Londoner, wasn't he?
He was absolutely massive. And he told a story about getting stabbed at a football match and not realizing until he got home.
He was a football hooligan. Big, no hair. Can you remember him, Shane? Oh, you probably can you? It was 15 years ago, wasn't it?
But it's more than 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm
sure the last time I saw Shane was probably at my wedding, I think.
No, we missed the wedding because our Jess had chicken pox.
Oh, you see, I thought that you turned up, like, afterwards. Do you know what I mean? Did you not turn up?
Not because I'm chicken pox, so I kind of stayed away.
Oh well, it's even fucking longer then, isn't it?
Brett, we're here to talk about a film that you both love. So do you want to tell us what it is a bit?
I can, yes. Do you want a synopsis? Because you love the synopsis, don't you?
No, I do. You know I do.
It's a long-winded one, this one. Oh. So you're going to like it even more.
Yes, I
have. I've been dying for this.
nice one.
So this week we're going to talk about They Live from 1988. Mm-hmm. There you go. And They Live is a science fiction action film written and directed by John Carpenter and loosely based on the 1963 short story 8 O'Clock in the Morning by Ray Nelson. Film stars Roddy Piper, Keith David, and Meg Foster. The film follows a drifter who discovers through special sunglasses that the ruling classes are aliens, concealing their appearance and manipulating people to consume, breed, and conform to the status quo via subliminal messages in mass media.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Isn't it? Right?
It is.
Best
what do you reckon of that? Cheers, man. That's why Cliff avoids the synopsises.
Well, I can't do the
synopsis. Synopsis? Is that the plural of it? Synopses? That sounds like the Skeksis of the darkness.
It does, doesn't it? No, that was a very good one, Brett. I just can't do them justice. That's the problem.
You certainly can. Then,
I take it this is your favourite film then, or one of them?
Me? Yes. Yeah. I absolutely love this because this is pretty much, it's almost like a documentary in it. But it just bred so many different, it was the start of that genre really, wasn't it? And then you had things like The Matrix that go on with it. You could name so many other movies as well, but this was kind of just setting the tone and kind of rather than aliens, you're just getting programmed into things. And I think that was when I first got into MK Ultra and stuff when I started watching this. But that's another podcast.
Because you're a conspiracy guy, aren't you, Shane? You love the conspiracies, don't you?
I love them absolutely.
There's nothing better than a good conspiracy.
Absolutely not. No. 100%.
Yeah. Well, they keep you busy.
The other thing as well, I think, as well as this film, this is like the start of it, isn't it? But like the X-Files after that sort of took it off as well massively, didn't it? So that's the other thing that for me, I became aware of conspiracies. Because when I watched this one, I remember I was at school, I was still in the juniors, and I must have caught it late at night. And I've said to Cliff before, I love John Carpenter. I love all of his films, but I never realized like all the films that I'd watched when I was a kid were all him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like I caught it sort of, it must have been late at night or whatever on ITV. And just the idea of the fact that someone could find these magical sunglasses, put them on, and his whole outlook on everything would change. Do you know what I mean? That was the amazing thing for me. And I remember going to school and sort of saying to people, did you see this film? Roddy Piper, the wrestler, puts the sunglasses on and he can see like aliens that are like ruling the earth and stuff like that. And everyone was like, no, you're making that up. Completely making that up. So when did you first see it, do you think, Shane?
I think it might have been on DVD. I think it's just been one of them, because it's not one of them where you kind of go out to go and physically watch it. I don't think I was really that into cinema at the time. I was like, yeah, I think I was working a lot of the time as well, you know, when you first start off as being a chef. But it was one of them 5 minutes where you go to the blockbuster, go for a movie, and you go, damn, there's nothing. And then you go have a look around at other stuff, and you go, this looks good, let's watch it. Man, this is amazing. But I think someone talked to us about they went, oh, what's the Philadelphia experiment? This is good. And that got us into Monsters, which then goes into the MK Ultra stuff.
And then
just opened up after that.
Yeah.
So this was my awakening movie, I guess.
Was it? Because John Carpenter was the producer. That wasn't he, the Philadelphia experiment as well?
Yeah.
All right. So the film, in the which I still haven't seen, by the way. The 80s film of the Philadelphia experiment. But yeah, I'm sure he's a producer or a writer on it or something like that. He's definitely connected to it.
All right. But, interesting.
Yeah. All
right. So do you think is John Carpenter, this is his outlook on life, do you think? Or is it just like, because not all of his films follow this, right? But I think it's a bit weird to make a film that's so overtly kind of calling out mainstream media and politics and consumerism without believing it. But do you think this is what he's into, Brett? Is he this kind of guy?
Well, from sort of reading interviews with him, the first thing that he would say, I think, is he's always had a problem with authority. So any authority figure, you know, he mistrusts. But this particular film was made at the time of Reaganomics and stuff like that in sort of the 80s, which, strangely enough, is very similar to what the Conservative government are trying to do now with sort of trickle-down economics and things like that. And it just gets basically what it does. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And you can see that throughout this film. Do you know what I mean? That's why he's trying to show. So I think he's tried to, obviously he's took it from that short story, but again, it's very loosely based on that short story. And he's basically put it into what he felt was happening in America at the time, where Reagan was busting the unions and stuff like that. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And like I say, unfortunately, that's exactly what they're doing now.
Well, it's been happening ever since, hasn't it? Any capitalist country, I think that's just how it operates. It's just a bit more blatant now, I think, in England and America. Like, there's no shame in that, I think, is the difference between now and then. They kind of revel in it and visibly and audibly kind of scoff and pour scorn on those of us that...
Politicians don't try to hide what they're doing anymore, do they? Yeah, that's the thing. They don't try and hide anything that... And they don't try and deny anything either, really, do they?
But that's what I mean. You don't need the sunglasses now, right? It's kind of obvious what happens.
It's out in the open.
But nobody seems to be able to change it for whatever reason. Yeah. Well, this was the first time I've seen it. I'd never seen it before. So I loved it. Really, really loved it. I didn't know what it was about. I'd seen the poster or the video cover, I suppose, loads of times, but I'd never seen it before. And it was kind of a coincidence. At the same time, I watched a documentary about Rowdy Roddy Piper. You asked us to watch this film, and I watched this documentary about his life. Excuse me. And a big chunk of it was about this film. And it was just before I was about to watch it. So they went into it and the background of it and his performance and stuff a bit in that documentary. And then I watched it and made a bit more sense. But he's a bit, he's a strange choice to be in it, I suppose, like on the face of it. He's good though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, Shane, you're a massive fan of The Evil Dead as well, aren't you? Which we did last week. You love Evil Dead, don't you? And I was reading that. Carpenter wanted Bruce Campbell to be the lead in this film originally, but obviously that didn't come off for whatever reason. But I like Roddy Roddy Piper. He's class, you know. He's using his like his wrestling sort of language throughout the film, like his insults, the famous one, obviously, which is, you know, absolutely mint, you know. And so he's using all of these sort of quips, and Carpenter's letting him put those quips in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also he's using his wrestler moves as well, isn't he?
Well, the fight's amazing. Well, you think he's a bit like Rocky? No, Rambo. Rambo, I'm getting confused.
He's a bit like Rambo. He's a, Rambo.
He's a loner who's an ex-military man who's on the wander, getting into scrapes.
Well, it's funny that you should mention that, I think, because when we did do Rambo, I think I said it was the best hobo film ever made. And then Shane messages and went, no, There Lives the best hobo film ever made. So there you go, Shane. That's weird. Exactly. Isn't that what you said, Shane? It
actually was, yeah.
There you go. What do you think of Roddy Piper there, Shane?
Well, I heard a different... The story I heard about Roddy Piper was he was coming at the end of his career and he was talking with... What's his name there? The owner of the WE at the time.
Shane McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
Oh, Vince. Mm-hmm. Who's Shane McMahon then? Is that his son?
It is, yeah.
Vince, we'll call him.
Vince. We'll call him Vincey.
Mm-hmm. No. But he was saying, I'll make a movie. You and me, we'll make a movie. But Hulk Hogan done a movie with McMahon, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember? Have you ever watched it?
I remember probably, going to pictures.
Is it the one where he's like some kind of nanny?
Suburban. There was two, wasn't there? Suburban Commando. And there was Mr. Nanny, I think. Was that right?
Yeah, Mr. Nanny. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All awful.
So you see, he made a good choice of going with John Carpenter.
Yeah.
I hear it was one of those.
I mean, John Carpenter was massive at the time as well. I mean, obviously, you know, look at the films he's made and stuff like that. If you had a choice to make a film with Vince McMahon or John Carpenter, you'd definitely go with John Carpenter, wouldn't you?
Well, I suppose you're on your way out of the wrestling or not. Like, Hulk Hogan still had a few years left in him, didn't he? So he probably was milking that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? I think he's good in it. Like, he carries himself well. I think some of his dialogue doesn't seem that natural with the rest of the people because he is very, like, stagey, like the wrestling guys are, I suppose. But it is funny that the one where he's in the shop. What's that line again about the bubblegum? Is that the one you're on about?
Yeah. I've come here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
That's where it is. It's a good... There's loads of good line, and they're trying to explain why he's behaving like that as well. When he puts the sunglasses on, it's like a drug, isn't it? He like keeps saying it throughout the film. It's you know, and when he takes the glasses off, he gets a cracking headache and like a calm down type thing, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to explain why he's coming out with that sort of, you know, extravagant behavior and extravagant things that he says. The other one that I like as well is when he first puts them on, and obviously he goes into a shop and he can see that people are aliens and stuff like that. And he says to this woman, "You look like your head full in the cheese dip back in 1957.
I don't know what it means, but it's funny.
Exactly. I don't know what it means. But it's obviously, you know what? Like, did you ever watch the wrestling, Shane, back in the day?
Yeah, a little bit.
Uh-huh. Remember when they used to, like, be on camera? They weren't wrestling, but they were on camera, and they were, like, calling out the other wrestlers and stuff like that. That's what he's doing, isn't he? He's using those same lines he would use to call out the other wrestlers.
So when I was watching that documentary about him, apparently that was what got him, like, going. So when he first started, that was the best bit of him. Like, forget he was a wrestler, but he wasn't the best in the world at the wrestling bit, but his pieces to camera and his language and stuff was what got everybody going, because he ended up being like the baddie and he wound everybody up because he would always be like calling everybody out and all of that kind of stuff. So it was that like use of language that got him famous or got his foot in the door with the wrestler and kept him going. So I suppose if people were looking at that, who these people are popular, who should we get to be in a film? He's probably going to be one of the choices for that, I suppose.
I mean, he had a tough life as well, didn't he? He got stabbed and all kinds of stuff in real life.
We're going to have to...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Take a break. We're back. A little break. We've got about half an hour to talk about some more of the film. Any favourite bits? My favourite bit is the fight in the alley, because I think that's amazing.
it goes on for
ages, and it genuinely looks like they're laughing at each other when it's happening, when they're obviously meant to be having a proper like fight. Yeah. But I love it.
It is amazing. I mean, it's the whole premise of it is that John Narda, because that's what he's called, Roddy Piper, he's trying to get Keith David to put the sunglasses on so he can see this universe and the con or whatever that's happening. And he won't put them on, will he? So they have this massive fight. It lasts for like 7 minutes or something like that.
It's on for ages, but it just keeps going and going. And I think that's what's funny. Like, and you think it's going to end. He like picks him up and gets him to like get back on with it, doesn't he? At one point, like encourages it to keep going. I love it, really love it. I know that's like the one bit of the film that doesn't really fit with the storyline of stuff, other than he's trying to get him to put the glasses on. Like it's there because of Rowdy Roddy Piper as a wrestler, I suppose. But I think I just think it's a good bit that brings something different to the overall like hour and a half that the film's on.
I mean, it's legendary, isn't it, that fight scene? It's like, it is the longest fight scene in cinema history, I think, isn't it? Something like that. So, I mean, but you would use Piper like that, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? He's a wrestler, so you're going to use him like that. And I think somebody said to John Carpenter, "Did you ever, like, consider shortening it?" And he went, "Fuck no." So there you go. What's your favourite bit, Shane, do you think? Yeah.
Well, the fight is one of the ones that I do really appreciate. And I think a lot of people forget that I think Carpenter kept it in for the main reason of being, it's easier to fool someone than it is to prove to someone that David knows that basically if he puts on the glasses, he cannot hide in the matrix, as it were. So he knows there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much all the way up through to the film. I didn't want to know nothing nor stay out of it. And then they have to fight and they put the glasses on. It's like, damn it!
That's true, because like throughout he's just saying, Keith David's character's just saying, keep your head down. Do you know what I mean? Don't make yourself sort of like aware to anybody or anything like that. Just keep your head down and keep working or whatever. But even though he is doing that, he's like, he's not with his family. He's not, you know, he talks about his family are living somewhere else and stuff like that. Mm. He's obviously not earned a lot of money because they're on this awful kind of homeless campsite thing, aren't they, in LA? Yeah. So it's not working.
I think that was the whole idea as well, because if you look through the movie, it's like it's shown through the eyes of the homeless as well. Carpenter didn't like Reagan anyway. I mean, he made that abundantly clear. And even Reagan's, I suppose, policies now have turned up here as well. So again, it goes generational, and carries on perpetuating it all. But I think the things I liked about the film was just about the no thought, obey, and it's just the signals. And then David Icke as well, you know, again, you could go on with him with these signals from Saturn and the moon beaming the signals down to us.
Yeah.
So there's another kind of thing that links to it. But it's just great how it is, no matter what time you'll put it in, doesn't matter where it was, maybe 15 years before or even 15 years after now, people will say, that stood the test of time. I mean, an eight-page comic, isn't it? It was an eight-page comic that turned into like a 24-page book.
Yeah. So it is still relevant, isn't it? It completely is. Unfortunately, that's the thing about it. I mean, it would be nice if it wasn't.
I think what's really good about it as well is like how it's not trying to be clever or dress it up. It's laying this out for you in a really easy way to go, oh shit, yeah, I get that. And I can see that happens, whether you, whatever side of the fence you're on, it's not making it too clever. It's not trying to complicate things. It's not using overcomplicated sci-fi language or political language or anything like that. It's a really on the level way of getting this point across that, capitalism and consumerism and the way people tell you what to do and how you're conditioned to behave and act and spend your money and live your life is like it's there. If you want to acknowledge it and fight against it or get on board with it or get your head down and get on with it, like, it's up to you.
Yeah,
the social media thing, it wraps around everything nowadays, isn't it? Social media.
Yeah.
I guarantee people are in the phones at least, what, half an hour, 2 hours a day? Easy.
It is. And I mean, not just that, but like the news and stuff like that as well. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a big part of the film where, you know, they're trying to sort of break through the signal, aren't they? And they're trying to warn the people as to what's happening and stuff like that. And that's when the camp gets sort of overtaken by the aliens or the authorities and stuff like that, which is a brilliant scene, I think. And amazing Carpenter stuff where the homeless camp gets raided. I think that's absolutely class, wonderful. But my favourite scene is just where he puts the glasses on, where he puts them on for the first time. And everything changes. Everything's black and white. And obviously, you know, it's, you know, things in magazines obey and serve and, you know, stuff like that. It's just wonderful imagery. And it probably has. I mean, you see people walking around with T-shirts on with obey on and stuff like that, don't you? Do you know what I mean? So I think it's that part where he puts the sunglasses on is just the best bit in the film for me. It's just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely great. That's what I think.
And Jane, like you say, it's obviously influenced a lot of other stuff as well, or the themes of this have been taken on in much bigger, more popular films that everyone knows, like you said, The Matrix, but in all kinds of stuff, whether it's TV or books or comics, like these themes have been and gone. And I think you've got to be like proud of John Carpenter for like starting that in this way. I think I think so anyway.
Yeah, well, I think this was only I don't think there was that many Carpenter movies had been before this. It might have only been about three or four, I think.
I think this was 88. So I mean, he started in the 70s and stuff. So he's already done like The Thing. He's already done like Starman, Escape from New York, and stuff like that. So this was at the point, I think, where he had pretty much pissed off like the studios and stuff with The Thing, obviously he likes pissing people off. Do you know what I mean? So the kind of just said, he has 2 million quid or whatever, just go and fucking make a film. And that's what he did with I mean, it's low budget stuff, but you wouldn't think by looking at it, would you, that it's low budget? It looks absolutely amazing.
No, but I think that's what we've mentioned in previous John Carpenter stuff. What he manages to do with the money he's been allowed to spend is amazing, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Even the music, you know. I think you know, even if you go back, it's like Ennio Morricone and the Thing, the music on there. Absolutely amazing. It's just amazing at just getting the right music at the right time. And that beat that goes all the way through.
It's really good.
Well, it's right at the start that as well, isn't it? And I've been to see John Carpenter twice live because he composed the music for this film. And when he's on stage and stuff like that, and he plays the theme from They Live, they'll all stick the sunglasses on. And there's like projections and stuff like that behind them of like clips from the film and stuff like that. Yeah, he's an amazing guy to go and see live. Like he's absolutely class.
What does he do? Like, what does he play?
So most of the themes, or all of the themes from his films, are composed by him, apart from, as Shane just said, The Thing, which is Marconi, but Carpenter's definitely got a little hand in that. There's a synth bit in that. It's strings, which is more corny, obviously, but there's like a synth bit throughout the film, which is definitely Carpenter. But he's always kind of denied that he's done that.
All right, but okay.
I think that he's just trying to say, I don't want to take anything away from Marconi because he's one of his heroes and stuff. So, and the other that he didn't do was Starman.
Okay.
He didn't do like the theme from Starman or anything.
I really want to watch that.
Exactly
again.
Like John Carpenter. Yeah.
I used to love that when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's mint. I mean, I love all of his films. The only one I can't get away with is the one on Mars. That's the only one.
Ghosts of Mars.
Ghosts of Mars. Yeah. I can't really handle that one.
But when you go to see him, what's he doing? Is he playing the drums or singing or what?
Well, he's a keyboard man, you know. He's a synth guy. So he's playing the keyboards.
I've got physics on his keyboard.
he's playing the keys.
Well, is he like Rick Wakeman?
Got a load. No, I mean he's not like that. He's not like a wizard. You know what I mean? He's not dressed as a wizard or anything. So he's playing the keyboards. His son, Cody Carpenter, he's also playing the keyboards, and we've had Cody Carpenter songs on and stuff like that on the podcast, haven't we? Uh-huh. And he's got a guitarist there with him as well, and drums and stuff like that. And I think the guitarist is Ray Davies' son.
Really? Okay.
Yep. But I mean, it's wonderful because, like, if you like John Carpenter, if you like all of his films, obviously you like the music as well because it's a massive part of it, then you know, it's just great to see this master, do you know what I mean, in both music and, you know, directing films and stuff like that.
What film did he do after this?
I think I'd have to check, but I think it might be In the Mouth of Madness or Prince of Darkness, maybe. I will check.
Was this well received when it came out? Was it popular?
Well, there's a conspiracy theory there with that. I don't know if you know anything about that, Shane, but when it came out, it went to number one. So it was number one in the box office, this film.
Okay.
And then when people realized what it was about, it just dropped completely.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that's apparently, it's never ever happened before where something's gone in to number one and then just completely dropped out of like the charts or whatever. Maybe they took it out of cinemas and stuff when they realized what it was about. But that's what happened, apparently.
All right. Interesting. Shane, anything else you want to say about the film?
No, I just love it. And I think, well, one of the things I always loved about the movie was, I can't remember her name. I made notes, you know. Funnily enough, I found out just how many notebooks our Emma has.
And how many's that, Shane? And well, what is she writing them?
Exactly.
Another time. But yeah, you're talking about Meg Foster, the girl in it with the eyes.
That's it. So she was like very ambiguous, and it was just an excellent bit of casting as to like, is she one of them? Is she?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of the things I loved. But it was just the fact that it was a Carpenter movie that just opened up so many other movies like The Truman Show and you can go on with it, Matrix and whatever.
So what do you think of Carpenter then, Shane? What do you like all of his films or?
I love Carpenter. You kind of gone wrong with it. Doesn't even matter. Yeah. I think the only thing I didn't like was the vampires. But other than that, he's just great. He was like, he's the, if ever you see it, name a director from the 80s, you just can't John Carpenter. He's amazing. I totally love him with you, Brett.
Yeah, I don't think back in the day we really had a chat about John Carpenter, did we? It wasn't really something that we talked about at the time. Not that I remember anyway. I mean, me memory might be clouded slightly there, Shane.
I would agree with you there.
There's a possibility of that, isn't there? We're probably talking about all the time. Never shut up about it.
Am I still come down and guns?
Kill the fish.
Kill the fish. Yeah, kill the fish. I remember that.
Even just one line if that come out randomness whenever. I'm sure you know this clip.
Yes, we had some good times. Definitely did.
Well, that's great. I've got a quiz about skeletons because that's what I thought this film was about.
It's not about skeletons. Your messages before. It's a horror film, this, Brett. No, it's not a horror film. There's skeletons in it. Skeletons. Where are the skeletons?
You can see people's skeletons, can't you?
It's the aliens.
Well,
apparently it's the same guy who plays all the aliens in the film as well, eh?
Well, unluckily for both of you, there's a quiz about skeletons. So we've got five questions.
To answer your question, Cliff.
Yeah.
Prince of Darkness was a year before this one.
Okay.
And the film after was Memoirs of an Invisible Man with Chevy Chase.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Have you seen that one, Shane?
Which one?
Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
I do remember watching it with Chevy Chase.
It was there with you, wasn't it? Yeah, he broke in.
Invite you to the premiere.
Fucking Chevy, get out, man. I've told you, Chevy, man.
He puts his off that wank in the corner as well. Just kind of just.
Right, skeleton quiz. Films and tellies about skeletons, right? So, Nightmare Before Christmas. I've never seen it, but apparently the main skeleton fella is called Jack Skellington. But who plays him, sings the songs, and does the voice? Do you know?
Unusual. Do you know, Shane?
It's a Tim Burton film, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. I've got a feeling it's Johnny Depp. Well, I could be wrong.
It was not Johnny Depp.
A bad shout because it normally would be him. But.
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
It's Danny Elfman, the composer.
It's not.
It is the film composer. It's Danny Elfman. He sings the songs and does the voice.
Johnny Depp is definitely Jack Skellington.
Well, don't take it up with me. Take it up with whatever the terrible website.
Wherever you've got your information from. You bloody liar.
Maybe this is like,
you see
that,
how this quiz is going to go, aren't you?
That's correct. Right. Another one that may or may not be correct. In Captain America, the First Avenger, we meet the Red Skull, who's called, his real name's Johann Schmidt, but who plays him? Do you know that one?
Shane's the Marvel guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but it's...
He's a Matrix guy as well.
That's right. And he's the elf of Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. No, what is his name? What is he? He's Australian, isn't he?
He is Australian. He's called Hugo Weaving.
That's right.
There's lots of stuff in him.
Yes.
Another one about who plays who. You know the animated Pixar film Coco about the Day of the Dead? No.
No, I don't.
No. Well, that's the question. So well done, you got that one.
Well,
right.
Get rid of that. Coco. Hold on. This is an animated class. Film about the Day of the Dead.
It's class. It's really good.
Is it?
Honestly, I would recommend it.
It's leakage in the eyes when you do watch it, like in the 70s.
What's the best animated film? Do you think?
Akira.
Oh, I haven't watched that for years.
I haven't seen it
though. I remember watching that as a teenager at class. Was it banned or something for years, Shane? Or was it just not available or something?
Just anyone would pay for the rights over here.
Yeah.
So I remember when it first came out, it was 91 or 92 or something. I travelled, I was working at Tunbridge Wells at the time, and it was on in Brighton. I went, I'm done. And literally just trained down, put me on, watch the movie, come back.
It was class. I remember when it came out because it was a big deal that it was suddenly available.
The Japanese anime thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where it is?
I think there was a remake a couple of years ago, but I don't know much about that.
What do you think the greatest animated film is then, Cliff?
Jungle Book?
Jungle Book. It's got good songs. That's got good sense.
I mean, I don't know. I've never really thought about that before, but that's the one that springs to mind for me.
Uh-huh.
What about you?
Are you going to ask me? Mm-hmm. I think Snow White.
Do you? It's sinister as fuck.
Yeah, that's why.
Weird, Snow White. It's a really weird story.
It is.
Like most of these things are. Like Pinocchio. Not a kid's
Pinocchio,
story. That
yeah. Where he turns into a donkey. What's that?
He gets abducted. He's in the, like child slavery after about 10 minutes of the film. It's really weird.
And obviously the traumatizing Watership Down as well.
I knew you'd mention that.
Well, it's fucking horrible.
You used to love it as a kid. It was good.
I didn't like it.
Is there any skeletons in that at the beginning when the hair? Something about the hair.
Don't the rabbits get electrocuted or something? They turn into skeletons.
You see the skeletons, for a second. Question number four. In Karate Kid, Johnny Lawrence is a skeleton at the Halloween party, and he beats up Daniel-san. But what is Daniel's costume, the best fancy dress costume of all time?
Right.
I don't know. I can't remember this one, Shane. Can you?
It's either a shower cubicle or a shower in a bath.
It's a shower cubicle, that is. He comes dressed as a shower. It's amazing. Anyway.
Very well remembered, there, Shane.
Well done. Right, last one. To be honest, I don't know why I picked this one. So in 2001, a movie called Bones came out, and this is the synopsis about this. Mm-hmm. Over 20 years after his death by a gunshot, Jimmy Bones comes back as a ghost to wreak revenge on those who killed him and to clean up the neighborhood. But who plays Jimmy Bones?
Can I have a guess?
Yeah.
Is it Ice-T?
No, but you're very close.
Jimmy Bones.
Shane, do you want to have a guess?
So is it American? All right. Well, and what year was it?
Is there a rapper?
Is there a
rapper clip? Go on. Don't tell me it's Snoop Dogg.
It is Snoop Dogg, and with that, you've won the quiz.
No way.
And also, I think I need to watch Jimmy Bones.
Jimmy Bones.
Also, it came up in a list of films about skeletons. But other than being called Bones, I don't think there's any skeletons in it.
Right, well, You never know until we've watched it.
Yeah.
that's a good one. Well, I'll have to get into that one, Ike, won't we?
Right. Well, Shane, it's been really nice to meet you, mate. And thank you for your expertise on that film. I very much enjoyed that. We've got some music.
Yes, mate. It was lovely to see you again. We'll definitely go out for that pint at some point, even though it'll probably take
July.
5, 10 years. Who knows? But it was meant to see you. I'll be looking forward to seeing you all day. So thank you, mate.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having us on. It's been great. And keep up all the good work as well.
No, I need mean, well, thank yeah, you, sure. man.
Thank you very much. Brett, what we got now? Music?
Yes, we've got music from Simulacrum Lab. I think every single time we've done a John Carpenter film, we've had Simulacrum Lab
on.
I think
so, yeah.
Because obviously, you know, one of them was with Cody Carpenter and stuff like that as well. So this one is wonderfully called Condor Strike.
Yes.
It sounds like an 80s cartoon. Lost 80s
Spectrum game.
Or a Spectrum game, yeah.
Well, here we go then. We'll put that on. See you again, everyone. Thanks again, Shane. Nice to meet you, mate. Take care. And if you have that pint in July, I'll come along with you.
Yes, we'll go in July. Yeah, we'll do that. Yes.
Yeah. See you later.
Take care.
See you, mate.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.